Today we're going to worship and celebrate the passing on of those of us who knew Christ and celebrate the fact that there is life after death. And we have eternal life as Christians already. And we will sing about four hymns or so throughout the time. And for the younger generation, which I don't see too many of here right now, but for the younger generation, this is what they call the hymn book. And what I do is I yell out a number. And then you turn to that particular number and we sing that song. There will be no overhead today, which is really kind of handy anyway, because most young people are used to having their neck down like this, punching on little numbers and stuff like this. So their neck is already in the right shape for the hymn book. All right, let's start out with a word of prayer this morning. God, we do thank you for the hope of salvation that we have here as Christians. I do pray that we can each be bold enough to share this hope with a lost world. And God, as we celebrate those who have passed on and celebrate their lives that they have lived before they passed on, help this to be an encouragement to us, God, to be of value to you while we still walk on this earth. Because I don't have much doubt in my mind that we are rewarded for what we do for Christ while we live on this earth. Now, God, I pray you'll bless this service. And may your Holy Spirit be with us. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, before we get started, I don't have a long list. I think last year was probably somewhere around 20 people. I'm not sure, but I have 13 so far. And Rita Davis, I'm glad you showed up. I need a date. Of Don Davis's mom passing away. October 26th. 98th birthday? Yeah. Wow. She didn't miss the century mark by much. Okay, good. Because somebody was looking through my list and they says, where's Alice Davis at? And I says, I don't remember getting a memorial. Oh, did you? To our yearly meeting, probably. No, I'm I'm not blaming anybody. But that was one thing I must have missed. Okay, well, at least we got it taken care of. So maybe before we begin with this, I would like to open up with the song, Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. And that's 597. 597. And maybe we'll sing 1, 2, 4, and 5. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Swift and beautiful for Thee. Verse 5. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at Thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and let it be ever be thine, all for thee, ever only all for thee. Take my will and make it thine, it shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own, it shall be thy royal throne, it shall be thy royal throne. That's quite a responsibility to make your heart into the royal throne of Christ. Think of that next time you're ready to swear a cuss word. That, or say something about somebody that's not true, or just say something that is true but is gossip. My heart is the throne of God. What a wonderful thing to think about. Okay, we're going to begin, and some of the names I name out will be followed by their home church or the town that they live in. Sometimes the memorials didn't have actually the church that they were attending, but they had their town listed. So what I'll do is I'll read off a name, and I'll pause for a moment to give anybody a chance who wants to speak about on behalf of that person. And then when I feel like everybody is cleared, I'll move on to the next name. And we'll sing a couple more hymns kind of in between these names that we call out and mention. Okay. So I'm going to start out with Gwendolyn Churchill, and she was from the Grinnell meeting, and I'll just speak a few words about Gwendolyn. Gwendolyn was invited to the church of First French Church in Grinnell by my wife when she was still working, before we even got married, when she was working at reinsurance. The two of them worked together in the claims department, and so Gwen was actually Kathy's boss, and one time, I suppose, they got having a conversation, and Kathy invited Gwen and Harold to visit our church. And at the time, they were going to a little country church as well, out towards Sully. I can't tell you the name of the country church. But anyway, so that's how they got going back and forth and eventually attending full-time at our church. And Harold sang bass in the choir. And I don't think Gwen ever sang in the choir, but Harold sang bass, but Gwen was a sweet lady, and when you went over there, she always baked these little banana bread things and pumpkin bread, and so when you went over there, and especially if I went over there and did something for them, some little electrical project, I always left with a couple loaves of those, of her bread, because she went to the farmer's market and sold these. But anyway, wonderful, sweet lady. Next, is there anyone else who would like to speak about Gwen? Okay. We have Erin Stewart Cook from the Indianola Church.
Erwin Cook pastored among friends for 54 years. He served in Kansas, in Oklahoma, and in Iowa at Motor and Ackworth, Middle River, and Smyrna, his last pastorate, for 25 years. Erwin was a delightful man, always with a smile on his face. One time, someone was asking him why he was smiling every time that he saw someone. And his response was this: I figure that the person, whether they're seeing me at Walmart or coming up to the door of my house, has been sent by God. The person is a blessing, a gift from God. So I smile in response. A wonderful, delightful, dedicated servant of our Lord Jesus Christ. His smile is missed.
One thing I failed to do with both of these is announce the date. For Gwen, it was June 7th, 2016, and for Erwin, it was September 18th, 2015. Then we have a Helen Virginia Bartholomew, who died May 20th, 2016, from Carlisle.
Helen was also a longtime member of Middle River Friends Church. Very active in the church, taught Sunday school a number of years, was exceptionally active in the USFW and their quilting ministry during the winters. In order to save a little money for the church so that the church didn't have to be heated, they would move all the quilting racks into her front room at her home. I think more so that Helen could fix everybody else's mistakes during the week. She was a wonderful lady, unable to sit still, always having to do something, and a very, very important part of the Middle River Friends Church, and particularly the ministry of the USFW.
I was just talking with Marlene before we started the service. I says, we don't have a real long list compared to last year. And I says, so this may not take much time. It'll probably depend on how many people Ann Nichols knows. But since Ann's not here, Randy's taking over. Okay. Next is Merle Stanfield. And he died on July 7th. 2015, from the Honey Creek, New Providence area.
Oh, I wasn't expecting to do this. Merle was married to a classmate of mine, Brenda Crabb, and Merle had some manic depressive problems, and they divorced, and Brenda remarried, but Brenda's new husband and Merle became very good friends. And when I moved back to New Providence, they had worked on, Bob had redone the old bank in New Providence, and that was an antique place for Brenda and Bob. And they'd be open for coffee, and when I moved back 4 years ago, I'd go up and have coffee in the mornings, and Bob and Brenda would be there, and then Merle would stop in. And so I got acquainted with Merle, and one of the things he always did was Valentine's Day, he would bring chocolate. He'd always drink coffee at Casey's, and he'd bring chocolate to the ladies there, and he'd bring chocolate to Brenda and I. And I always gave my husband a hard time because I got chocolate from Merle and never from him. But Merle had a good heart. He would have given anything he had away. And he's missed.
Next on the list is Madeline Lucille Crew Espenson, who died June 10th, 2016, from the West Branch area. Next is Bonnie Jean Phillips, died November 7th, 2015. Member of the Honey Creek New Providence. Next is Dean Morris, died July 6, 2015, from the Mason City area.
Dean Morris was a founding member when Riverside Church was planted, Honey Creek, New Providence, of course, being the parent church. He is very faithful. He did many, many things at the church. The thing that, after Dean retired, he worked at many different jobs, including being a deputy sheriff for Worth County, as well as a chemist for the Crystal Sugar Plant. He would drive up in his pickup and always have the whole bed loaded with tools. He had a topper on it. And so if anything needed to be done, we'd just go with Dean out and get whatever tool we needed and take care of it. One particular project to remember is I'd gone to get some supplies, which I should learn not to do, and left Dean and the current pastor alone to replace these windows. And somehow the pastor, who's probably kind of klutzy like me, broke this 4x8 window. And when I got back, there's blood all over the floor. And Dean, of course, was very calm and just took him to the emergency room and got him all stitched up. And then we got the window project finished. We just went back to work after that. So Dean was very faithful, and he certainly is missed.
We didn't attend Riverside for very long, but precious memories there, and he is one of them. But mine is a kind of a lighthearted remembrance. We had some kind of family night, maybe it was New Year's Eve, and they were showing a movie and having games and snacks and stuff in the basement of the church. And Dean was the one who set up and was showing a movie that I'd never seen before, and it's become one of my favorites over the years, Friendly Persuasion. And that was the first time I ever saw it, but I associate it with Dean. And I'm just thankful for the legacy he leaves behind and how many lives he touched.
Well, how about if we sing about a wonderful Savior that we have? Let's sing number 611, He Hideth My Soul. And let's stand together as we sing in honor of those who have died from our churches and our meetings, in the Iowa yearly meeting. We'll do all four verses. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burdens away. He holdeth me up and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. With numberless blessings each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine. I sing in my rapture, O glory to God, for such a Redeemer as mine. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. Okay, you could be seated. That was wonderful. The next name on the list is Wayne Tuttle, who died February 2nd, 2016, from the Marshalltown area.
Wayne Tuttle was a member of Bangor Liberty Meeting for years. Wes will testify he was one of our fathers. A quiet man, very dedicated, exceptionally devoted to his family, did everything Fern asked him to do. One of the funny stories on that is that if Wayne went out and bought a new T-shirt, Fern made him throw an old one away because they only were going to have so many changes of clothes. But, growing up at Bangor Liberty, having the example of the wonderful couples who made sure to take care of each of us no matter where we ended up crashing for the night. Very important part of my life, and it is through his witness and those of the others that I stand here today and can declare that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Next is John E. Lane, who died in March 23rd, 2016, from New Providence.
Johnny was also a member of Bangor Liberty. Kind of came late to us in life, where another church got just a little bit too liberal for him and Gladys and came to us. The thing I remember the most about Johnny through our church there was he was a hard worker. Anything being done outside, you know, he was there, even though I think even 85, 86, he was working rings around us younger guys. But at his service, it was really where I saw the other side of Johnny, and just the love that he had for his grandchildren especially, just how much that they shared, how much he loved them, and the time that he spent with them, and showing that Christian love to them, and raising a great family and generations. So his shining example all the way around was very much appreciated.
Next is Gertrude Keene, who died October 11th, 2015, from Le Grand. And then Martina Cummings Bauman, who died January 18th, 2016, from Oskaloosa.
That's Bowman. But
oh, okay.
Yeah, this year we've lost some of our beloved older members, and definitely one of them that was up there and one of the hardest funerals I've done in my life that were of, you know, three that I did this year was Martina's. And Martina was, she was very involved in lots of different ministries in the church. One of the things that she's really known for was always providing fresh flowers every Sunday, and she did that for decades. And people from the church have taken up that mantle in her honor, and really passionate about that. And Martina was sweet, and yet kind of, I don't know how to describe. She was really sweet, but she had kind of a wild streak, I guess, is how I would put it. She was definitely a lady, but she was a little bit sassy at times, and it was really fun being her pastor.
Martina was also well known in the USFW, at least locally. She was always one who would read the book list. There was one yearly meeting where she and I believe Margaret Stolzfus were in charge of decorating the banquet tables at Penn, and that was several years ago. And it was probably in the early 2000s when Martina happened to fall during a yearly meeting session, but it happened to be at home. And that made her whole life kind of change as far as her interaction in the church. But she still tried to come, but she always had that sense of humor, and she definitely was a truly Southern lady. Her hospitality, having been a minister's wife, all those different types of things. She was a great Christian, and I really have appreciated her influence in my life.
Next is Mary McGackey, who died March 1st, 2015. She was a member of the Salem Friends.
Might as well get up and share along with me, but Mary McGackey, I only knew in her later years in life. She was already confined pretty much to a wheelchair, but she would still come when she was able down the broken sidewalk and into the church and sit in the center aisle. But Daryl was mentioning this morning that one of the things that we will always think of is the cookies. How many kids in Salem have eaten Mary McGackey's cookies? She baked dozens and dozens of them, baking them from a wheelchair in her little bitty kitchen there. In a small apartment, and what a blessing. She said she couldn't do much, but she could do that, and she found great joy in doing that. She loved when we would come caroling to her house and sing for her, and then she loved to have people praying with her, and she loved to take hold of your hand, and it was just very precious.
That's what I was going to say. All those things that she loved the Lord. Mary loved the Lord. And I think she would have loved us even if she didn't know the Lord, but especially because she knew the Lord. And when there'd be some singing led, there she would be, in the center aisle, in that wheelchair. And you look out, and she wasn't a very good student. She wouldn't be looking at her book. She would be looking up, smiling. And, you know, how heartwarming is that? She loved the Lord, and I knew that she loved us.
Last on the list, and if there's others out there. Oh.
Mary was my secret angel one year at church. At Christmas time, we exchanged names, and she had an angel collection, and so she was sharing her angels with me that year. So it was just a precious memory. She was so sweet about it.
Grace Mills.
Alice Davis, I can't begin to say how she's influenced my life. Even when she was nursing home bound, we were gathering there for prayer with her, just a small circle of us. I couldn't go as often as Rita and some of the others, but what a passion she had for the lost and for her Lord above all that. But I watched her as she carried a burden for those who took care of her within the nursing home. And I can't to this day see a little newspaper, I think it's called The Herald. I don't know if there's more to the title. But she would read that and pass that on. And just briefly about Gracie Mills, I only knew her later in life as well. And Gracie, I don't know if Tom's here and we'll speak about Gracie, but Gracie came, her and Harold, Harold's still living, but Gracie came as long as she was able to church, held down their spot. They had a stick, you know, that was their spot. But I guess we do the same. But Gracie, she also had angel collections, and I have a little salt and pepper shaker that I'm not into salt and pepper shakers, but Gracie wanted me to have something of hers, and so every Christmas I get it out, and I'm reminded of Gracie. But if Tom were in here, he'd be saying that he was down there, and I believe it was the Hawkeyes. If there was a Hawkeye game, he'd be at their house watching the Hawkeyes play with Harold and Gracie. And she was kind of a live wire is kind of how I would associate her. But these three women from Salem, mostly I have known in their older years. And from each one, I've been touched and learned something about growing old gracefully in the Lord and continuing in faithfulness. I'm very grateful for them.
We have two more from our church, but I don't want to, three more from our church, but I just want to give time for other people to talk about the two that she mentioned.
Yeah, I have to speak to my mother-in-law. First of all, I was given that assignment by my husband, who isn't here, but the very first time that I met her, Don and I had just met about a week before, and he took me to his church, Pleasant Plain Friends. And first of all, you go through the front door, and you're coming in facing people at that church. And that was kind of intimidating to me in the first place. And then here's this strange little lady pumping my hand up and down and trying to talk to me. And I'm looking around for Don. Where is he? You know? And she kind of frightened me at first. But, and she was very, she was really pretty tiny. She was barely 5 foot. Pat talked about how these people in our church modeled how to grow old gracefully, And that's the one thing that I especially appreciated about her, because my family didn't do that very well. They resisted and rebelled against old age, but she just really did a good job of accepting those limitations that life gave her. She was a faithful wife, and after her husband had a stroke, she just took care of him so well and without complaint. And at one time, he had been clerk of Iowa Yearly Meeting, and they were really faithful attenders to Iowa Yearly Meeting. And she was a graduate of William Penn and really proud of that. And she was, I forget what they call it now, a legacy. Because of all the people in her family that had come here, I can't remember what they call it at William Penn, so she was recognized for that. And she wasn't very strong at the time she was recognized, but she was sure going to be here and have that recognition. One of her former pastors recognized that she had a prophetic voice. And in her church, she was very active, especially in Sunday school, and she was a good teacher. She was a school teacher in her later years. And she would often have Bible studies after school for children in her home. And they lived in a mobile home court in Fairfield, and these kids would just come in there and get a cookie and learn about the Lord and learn how to pray. And it was just amazing the things that they would pray for. I remember one time Don had he'd fallen or something. He'd hurt his foot and thought it was broken, and he was wanting to go to what are those men's conferences, Daryl? Promise Keepers. And he was afraid he wasn't going to be able to go. But this little boy that had been taught to pray in her home said, "Well, I'm just going to pray that his foot's not broken." And it turned out not to be after all. It was just kind of, it was one of those amazing things. I'm sure that it grew his faith. One of the things she did that was kind of amusing to me is that she went into the Washington High School. You know, all her boys were athletes. Well, probably not the oldest one. But the others were athletes in football and everything. And they had this, you know, the demon mascot. And she did not like that demon mascot. And she went into the school and was really complaining about that and wanted them to change their mascot. And she was not successful, but she did let them know what she thought about it. She was really a good hostess. She loved having groups in her home, but she didn't have enough pillows usually for everybody, so she'd wait till somebody went to sleep, and then she'd take their pillow and give it to somebody else so that the pillows would go around to people. She left flowers and trees, and she often shared those. She was really good with that, and she really had a heart for the people that were at the Maharishi campus, and she mentored several people there and led at least one person that I know to the Lord, specifically from that place. And she was very mission-minded. She supported and prayed for many missionaries, and as Pat said, she cared about the people that cared for her, and just other people that she came in contact with. She would add them to her prayer list. And then she was, in her later years, and I don't know for sure how long it lasted, I'm thinking maybe 12 or 13 years, she would write in spiral notebooks her Bible journals, what she was reading, at least three different places every day, Old Testament, New Testament, and Psalms or Proverbs. And she would journal what the Lord was telling her, and then she would also write things about specific prayers for people or concerns that she had. And these journals are going to be very precious to the grandchildren, because they are going to get copies of those. But couldn't have asked for a better mother-in-law. There were times when I probably didn't appreciate her as much as I should have. But in the later years, after she moved to Mount Pleasant and I got to really spend a lot of time with her, she became very precious to me.
And by the way, she died on October 26th, 2016.
the three that our pastor was referring to, John Patterson, passed away July 1, 2015. He was a World War II veteran. He was a quiet man, although very intelligent and very witty, a dry humor. He and his wife are very well known in our community for outward service, whether it's People for People and other organizations, as they served for some time in our community with the Iowa State Extension Office. So he had an interest in nature and gardening. His wife, Mary, was in his final years with his dementia, tried to take care of him at home for some time until he was placed in a nursing home, perhaps in the last year and a half or 2 years of his life. And that family was very faithful in attending to his needs. John was active in our church in various ways, more probably on the trustees, and I'm not real sure on some of that. The other person that passed away was 2 or 3 weeks after Martina Bowman, and it was either the last of January or the first part of February 2016. Henry and his wife served at William Penn, and she was in the kitchen, but he was basically a custodian. And in their later years, he and his wife liked to go to the game room at Penn and sit there and get to know the people. In our church, Henry was one who was creative. He shared poems. He always had Tootsie Rolls in his pockets, and he always liked to give them out to the little kids. And he always was very positive, and he always had a great smile on his face. The third one that passed away was in February, Eves Cadwallader. In 2016. Again, this family are giants in our church in the sense of their longevity, their involvement with William Penn, the yearly meeting, and our local meeting. Very faithful friends, well-respected in our community for their outward services. They were always in monthly meeting, and they seemed to be sensitive to the Spirit, and they would oftentimes be what you would call the weighty Quaker man in our church, serving on many committees, the latter one being Peace and Social Concerns, but I also know that he was on Ministering Council, and I can't tell you whatever else he was on. I don't know if there are others from our local meeting that want to share anything about those three. I do know that Linda Eliason next to me does want to make some summary statements.
I do want to reinforce what Donna has said about those from College Avenue who have passed away in this past year. John Patterson, Martina Bowman, Henry Wass, and Eves Cadwallader. All were very important in my life, and I thank you, Donna, for what you have said about them. I also want to mention one who is not a member of Iowa Yearly Meeting, Ina Mae Moyer, who just passed away. She is the mother of Mike Moyer, and many of you know Mike and Deb Moyer. The memorial service is tomorrow in Wichita, and I hope we will all be holding the Moyers in the light of God's love during this difficult time for them. So in memory of these, I would like to read a prayer when a loved one dies. This has been attributed to William Penn. We give back to you, O God, those whom you gave to us. You did not lose them when you gave them to us, and we do not lose them by their return to you. Your dear Son has taught us that life is eternal and love cannot die. So death is only a horizon, and a horizon is only the limit of our sight.
I just want to say a few words about Henry Wass. He was, he always sat in that chair right there to the I can just call it Henry's chair, and anybody would know what I'm talking about. And he would sit and he would hand out candy to kids, my kids, especially, even though he handed out Tootsie Rolls and my oldest daughter doesn't like chocolate. It was kind of a funny exchange to see that he would try to give her the candy and she'd be like, got anything else? And, you know, he wasn't used to that one. And it was really touching how he always reached out to the little kids and tried to bridge the gap and tried to show his love. And I always remember his laugh. He just had this really remarkable laugh. It was kind of like, kind of Winnie the Pooh-ish, I guess. But it was full of feeling and emotion, and he just loved to see people. He was always smiling every time he saw someone. Didn't matter who they were, even if they were total strangers, he just lit up. And it was really great to see, and really great to know him. I know he had dementia, and I didn't get to know him as much as others, and get to see the poet side of him or some of the other things about him. But he was definitely a very influential person in our church, even in his decline. And also Eves, obviously many of you know Eves. I mean, Eves was definitely a spiritual giant, and he just had this sweetness about him that was, he didn't see anything bad in the world. He had regained some of that innocence that, or maybe just always had it. I don't really understand how that works, but I know that when you're 94, you can't fake that. You know, you can't. There's something about being that sweet and generous that it goes beyond just somebody who is putting on a mask. And he's somebody that I would always say, you know, I want to be like Eves when I grew up. I was grew up in a broken home, battled addiction, had all these horrible experiences with humans, you know, various levels have disappointed me all throughout my life, and bounced around the planet, you know, and to go out to the Cadwallader's farm and to see somebody with such a sense of place and such a sense of history and family and just that sweetness, it was like two different worlds coming together, and it was really touching. And to see his love for bees and his just his love for woodworking and some of those things. I'll tell you, I did see him get mad once. He was working in the wood shop, and you know, his vision was really bad, and he was working on a bandsaw, and I just couldn't watch anymore. And I had to take what he was working with away from him and finish it for him. And he didn't like that. But I mean, for the most part, he was just this wonderful, sweet person who he just loved everybody, and he loved them so much. And it was so, I mean, there's people in this community that knew him for various reasons, that I mean, he's looked up to by anybody. Kids, and I just want to be the kind of person that touches people's lives like that someday.
Being a student at William Penn, and I had an identical twin sister, and most people couldn't tell us apart, and we were a real problem for Henry. He was very shy at that stage in life, rather quiet, but he had this twinkle in his eye, and yet when he'd see us individually, when we weren't together, he was a little bit reserved, but sort of quizzical about, well, which one are you? So I remember that particularly. But he never failed to greet you with a smile, and that was Henry. I also want to mention Rose Wagner. She died last week. And she was the wife of President John Wagner of William Penn. And John served in the Air Force during World War II. And when he came back from service, he brought with him Rose, who was Rose Wagner, I think, by that time. Never asked where they got married or when, but she was elegant as a president's wife. She was very supportive of all of John's efforts. And before he became president, he served as a person who went out and contacted future students. He contacted people who were asked to help support the college. And she was always in the background, raising their family. But any time there was an event, she was there supporting John, and just in a very quiet way. But you knew her heart was in service to that university. I also will speak to Bonnie Phillips of Honey Creek, New Providence. She was the mother of my son-in-law, Dennis Reese. And Bonnie, too, had an angel collection. And that has been pretty much distributed all through the community and various parts of Hardin and Marshall County, I'm sure. I have one of the angels that actually is a bird, because I feed the birds at my house, and I have more birds coming than people. But they order me around, too. If I forget to get out and get the feed, boy, they're letting me know. They're out there. And their song is not the same when they're asking for food as when they're thanking you for the food. You need to listen carefully to what they say, because they, too, have a life and a communications system.
Martha Littlejohn was one of probably three members of Hesper that I wasn't related to. She was a unique person, and it kind of hurts me a little that I didn't find out a lot about her until after she died. She was a person that didn't like to be talked about. And so at her service, which, by the way, was held at the Lutheran Church in Hesper and was practically a Quaker service because a number of people spoke, one man who was had what would have been the obituary mentioned that she didn't like to be talked about, so he was going to talk about her trombone. And he took the case, and he said, "You'll see that it's worn, but it's been taken care of," because that's what people who lived during the Depression did. They took care of what they had. And on one side of it, there was a sticker from the high school that she played in the band. And on the other side was a sticker for the University of Iowa marching band. And I understand that she may have been one of the first women to be in that band, because previously it was all males. But the other thing that she did that was unique was that she thought that the kids who were going to the one-room schoolhouses should have an opportunity for music. And so she and her husband, Bill, built a trailer that they could put the piano on, and she would go around to four or five or six schools and give music lessons. I say her husband's name was Bill. We always thought in terms of Bill and Martha, because they were always together, except at church. Hesper had a center aisle. She would sit in the back pew on one side, and Bill would sit across the aisle on the other side. But she was a great person.
Hearing the passing of Henry Wass and Yves Cadwalader, brings back a lot of memories because I was a little boy running around these balconies and growing up in this church, and they were older mentors of mine. Later in life, as I became an adult, Eves didn't realize it, but I think he had a lot to do with my growing passion as a Christian, caring for God's creation. I know that he did. A lot of people do not realize he started a small beekeepers group, which met in the basement of this church for many years. They outgrew that. Here's this gentle, quiet man who starts a beekeepers group. They had to move to the extension offices because it outgrew that. It's a huge group, and I've spoken to them about native plantings and how they can help bees and so forth. And Eves and Iola were there, and it was very special to be there with them and to see the fruits of, you know, we never know what our witness is going to be, but he has had a huge impact in this community, in this area, because this is a beekeepers group that draws people from 60 miles away to come to learn more about beekeeping.
Two names did not make it from Motor this year. One of them was a gentleman by the name of Newland Miller, and I cannot give you a date on it because I forgot about it until somebody mentioned hot dogs to me. Newland always knew where the best hot dogs in the area were. And in fact, for his funeral dinner, we had hot dogs. They were very good hot dogs. Everybody in the area knew it. He had coached at Pleasantville for some time, and a lot of the students knew well about hot dogs because, as their coach, he'd take them for hot dogs after the game because he knew where the good hot dogs were. I only got to know Newland for about a year. Coming back as a retired pastor, coming back home, I only got to know Newland for about a year. But when you went to a football game with him, you gave him room because he cheered. And you didn't want to sit too close or you might get knocked out. The other would be my own mother. And sometimes it's hard to talk about your mother, and maybe they talked about her last year because it was last July. Would have been this year, your early meeting report, but it would have been before your early meeting last year. I came back to help care for Mom. Geraldine Smith is the name they give her, but everybody called her Jerry. And I have just one story I want to share with you. Mom was never real tall. My brothers and I did not get very tall jeans for Mother. But she would threaten to throw us out the door if we didn't get out and get the chores done. Being an 18-year-old wrestler, I argued with her and found myself in a snowdrift outside the door. About 3 years later, I found her saying that to my younger brother, and he found himself in a snowdrift. The third brother, I opened the door for her. And he says, "What'd you do that for?" I says, "You were going out it anyway. I didn't want you to get hurt." So, but being away and being away from your parents for a long time, Mom and Dad were a couple that were willing to travel wherever I was. And that included the West Coast for a while, bringing sometimes grandchildren with them. What a trip that would have been, driving from Iowa to Oregon with a grandchild in the car with you. It was a trip, but we enjoyed it and enjoyed having them visit us wherever we were. So it was good to get back home. Unfortunately, I only got to spend a short time with Mom. And that sometimes comes back to haunt you, and other times you go, hallelujah.
So the moral of that story is don't sass off to your mom in the winter.
I was almost there once when I was at your house. Or their house, but Jerry and Ival, Pat and I, they have different years, but we shared the same anniversary date, and that was one special bond. The other special bond I became one of her sons also. I was never thrown out the door, but Jerry loved the Lord, and I knew she loved me. And she was a credible woman of God and very patient to put up with Ival's orneriness. And I knew that they both loved Jesus, and they loved me.
I remember thinking about this last year at yearly meeting when her name wasn't read and it was so close. But Jerry served on the USFW board with me when I was president, and I think of her as my champion. She was there, rock steady and always encouraging, and I loved to get a hug from Jerry. But even more importantly, she was like a spiritual mother to me, and I've had a number of those over the years. But I couldn't wait to go to USFW after I was president and finished there, looking for Jerry and getting a hug and seeing her smiling face. And we always talked about how she was going to show me how to put a quilt in a frame, and I never made it there to get that done. But I associate quilting also. Whenever I'm quilting, I think about Jerry.
There were three names that didn't get in from Earlham. I'm not sure what happened. In October of last year, I lost my mother, Donna Allen. She wasn't a member, but as I was planning her funeral, I got a call that we lost Darlene Cook, or Doris Cook, I'm sorry. And she had been in a nursing home for many years. Her and her sister, Carlene, played the piano and organ at Earlham for... oh, I think it was 28 years is what they figured that they had played piano and organ together. I was shocked when I got the call that it was Doris, because she was up and around and always talking when I went to visit. Just a lovely, lovely spirit for the Lord. Neither one of them ever got married. They dedicated their lives to Earlham Friends Church. There's an organ sitting in our sanctuary with their name on it. A couple weeks later, around Thanksgiving, we lost Eugene Conrad, who was an elder. I don't know if anybody remembers that Earlham had a traveling puppet ministry. And they used to go around all over, I guess, Iowa and different states, and we still have about 30 puppets in the back. And it was quite the deal. I heard that when Eugene had you on the puppet team, you had better... hold your arm right or he would correct you. When I first got to Earlham, Eugene wasn't in the nursing home. He was riding his little scooter around town, and there's a flower garden between my house and the church, and I diligently worked on that flower garden when I first got there every day. And every day this man, he never went to church, so I didn't really realize who he was, would ride by and say, "You missed a weed," every morning. And it drove me crazy until I figured out who he was. And he went to the nursing home soon after I got there, and we became great, great friends. And so he was a great loss. And then early this spring, we lost Doris's sister, Carlene. And again, just two women that dedicated their entire lives to the Lord. Never had families. Never had a husband, but they loved Jesus. And I just wanted to mention them this morning.
So if you could make sure that these people that weren't on the original list that I have, make sure that their information, obituaries, get to the Iowa Yearly Meeting. And I apologize if I missed those, but I had a few sent to me, but... for the most part, they were in an envelope from the Iowa Yearly Meeting. So, anyway, is there any others? Are there any others?
I'm not good at remembering dates, but I'm pretty sure that Armetta Keeney and Ruth Wilson from Ackworth, both very involved deeply faithful people have died in this last year from Ackworth. The thing, Armetta Keeney was good at reminding me when I wasn't speaking up loud enough. She had a way of reminding me of several things in the meeting, but a dear lady, very faithful to Ackworth meeting and to our Lord. Ruth Wilson, the first time I visited Ruth Wilson, I was sitting in her home and I looked up on the wall. There was a picture of four high school age kids, I guess. And I just asked her, they looked like they were, you know, from about high school age. And I just asked her about that, and she proceeded to tell me that her husband and four sons had gone. They're living in the West Coast, and they had gone out fishing and not come back. And I went and kind of choked, and I realized in a few minutes she just set me totally at ease, and she talked about them, and she talked about how that, and the faith that she had that carried her through raising four more children on her own. But the faith that she had, the prayer faith that she had, she told me once that she remembered that she had, that we had been, when we were in Africa, on her prayer list. It's just one of those very faithful prayer warriors, and the depth of her faith is reflected in her children and grandchildren even yet. So two very missed people from Ackworth.
Okay, a few weeks ago, Tom had emailed me and wondering about the schedule, and he had me scheduled for 8:30 for the memorial service. He says, how long do you think it'll take? And I don't think I gave him an exact time. I think basically I said, that's out of my control. And it has definitely been out of my control. And it's a good thing. I'm not complaining. Maybe Tom will, but I'm not complaining. Let's stand together. We've been sitting for a long time. I want to read a little bit out of Exodus, and then we're going to sing, as a benediction to this service, we will sing Holy Ground, number 183 on the hymn book. But first I'm going to read a few verses from the passage from Exodus. It says, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from this burning bush. He said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here am I. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. When he said that I am the God, then he said that I am the God your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Well, we don't need to be afraid to look at God. To look at God for grace, to look at God for help. But this is a song that I like to sing. I like to close our hymn sings that we have in Grinnell every other first Sunday of the month. Because it just reminds me, basically, of the creation and the holiness of God and the wonderful power that he has. And he is the Father of all fathers. So let's sing together Holy Ground, and this will be our benediction for today. Oh, 138? Oh, I inverted a couple numbers. I often do that. I'm dyslexic.
We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. We are standing in His presence on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in His presence on holy ground.